Talk, talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Marketing News Radio, presented by the American Marketing Association.
Hi there, and welcome to another edition of Marketing News Radio. I'm your host, David Kennard. You know, I've got a real treat for our nonprofit friends today, an expert on fundraising and some excellent tips on how to improve your fundraising and development results. Now, through today's show, we're really going to hit a home run for nonprofits, and it's really one that I think will translate very well to the for-profit sector as well. So all of you for-profits out there listening, don't give up just yet, because I think there's some tremendous development or tremendous connections between partner development and fundraising development. For the nonprofit marketers out there, we're going to take your fundraising efforts to a whole new level with my guest today, Mark Pittman. Now, he is a multi-million dollar fundraiser. He's a sought-after fundraising coach and an expert on how to build up your own development program. But everything we talk about today, again, can be applied to partnership development, co-branding efforts, and strategic alliances. But I'll let Mark tell you all about that. Mark, welcome to the program. When we talk about fundraising as a function of business, what are we really talking about and describing?
Well, it's great to be here. What we're talking about with as business, from a business aspect, I think is marketing and sales. And I know my nonprofit colleagues are going to cringe that I'm equating fundraising with sales, but there are a lot of aspects of getting appointments and making the ask and getting to know what the hot button issues are for donors. Those are all sales lingo terms, mm-hmm. but they all apply quite directly with what we're doing in fundraising also.
Well, and I was reading your book, Ask Without Fear, and it's a great read. It's short, it's succinct, it's a powerfully compact little book. And every time I was reading it, I've lived both in the for-profit and non-profit worlds, I was going, well, this applies to both situations. That in your real methodology that we'll talk about in just a few moments, that those four simple steps are really things that apply to developing any kind of relationship, whether it's asking for dollars or asking for a partnership. Is that right?
Well, you know, I had a hard time as I was writing the book exactly for that reason. I wanted to write a book for nonprofits, but as I kept going through the process of just getting the material, doing the research, and, you know, collecting everything, I kept thinking about all the books that I'm looking at right now on my bookshelf, from Seth Godin and books on leadership, James O'Toole on leading change, Tom Peters, Ken Blanchard, all these great books that are on here that these are already having the tools that are discussed and Ask Without Fear, and kept wondering, should I make this a broader audience? Should I make it so it's not just about fundraising, but asking without fear for your life or something? Maybe that will be the second edition. I don't know.
Well, it's certainly a very apropos book for the nonprofit world. But I have to admit, as I was doing my own research for this show, I found a number of other books out there on the topic of fundraising. Why did you think another book was needed?
Well, you know, I had to ask myself that question, too, because there are a lot out there on fundraising. Yeah. But one of the things that I noticed when I was looking through over the dozen or so years that I've been at this is that the books that are out there seem to me to be more filled with the lingo of the development profession, using the acronyms and the shortcut terms. And I was looking for a book that I could get my board members. The training I wish my board members had had. And I couldn't find that. They were either too full of jargon, or that it's so hard to write a simple book because there's so many aspects to fundraising. Mm-hmm. And if you're enthusiastic about it like I am, you want to go everywhere. You want to talk about direct mail. You want to talk about the web. You want to do everything. And so keeping it slim was another problem with many of the ones that I saw out there. Finally, the cost. The slim volumes like mine are still going for $25 or $30 on the web. Understandably, if you know the authors, you know the content is there to justify that. But I wanted a book that somebody could pick up in a airport, read on the airplane, and then get off the airplane and start being so jazzed up about fundraising that they'd start asking for money for their favorite cause.
I love it. Today we're talking with author Mark Pittman. He's the author of the book Ask Without Fear. And today we have a special call-in show. Our first five callers will receive a free copy of Mark's book. You can call in and ask your own question to Mark by calling us toll-free at 877-474-3302. That's 877-474-3302. We'll be taking your calls later in the program. Mark, any idea on how much money is generated in the nonprofit world through fundraising and development efforts? I remember having some guests on about a year ago that talked in this realm, and we're talking billions of dollars, aren't we?
It is. There's a lot every year, and it grows. There's an organization called Giving USA that's been tracking this, I think, for close to five decades now. Their most recent estimate for last year, the numbers are still kind of settling, but it looks like over $306 billion was given in the U.S. alone.
$306 billion. I'm just trying to figure out how many zeros that is after that six.
I know.
That's a lot of money. And is this all going to just the major, you know, nonprofits? I'm thinking like the macro mega, American Heart, American Cancer, all those kinds of things, Red Cross. Or is this being spread out proportionally, with even, you know, the small, labor temples or missions in urban cities across the country?
I'm sure if you asked anyone in a nonprofit, they'd say everybody else must be getting the money.
I haven't seen any of that $306 billion.
Right. And when you look at the grand number, it always feels like, well, there's more than enough to go around.
Mm-hmm.
And the exciting part about that number is that it keeps creeping up every year, just a little bit each year, but it's still Americans continue to be more and more generous. I think where people may be feeling the crunch is that the stats tend to show that the number of donors are going down. So while the more money is being given, the donors that are staying in the donor pool are being more generous. But the actual competition for donors is increasing. So some organizations are really feeling that.
Why do you think that's so, that the number of donors is going down? Is it just because more people have, or less people have money to give? Or is it maybe a sense of, like you said, gosh, $306 billion, that should take care of everything. I don't need to contribute.
Wow. I could probably do a whole sociological dissertation on this. Off the top of my head, I think there are a few factors in play. First of all, I'm not a fan for going back to any particular time frame of U.S. history, but I think that some of the traditional structures that have been in our society that teach philanthropy, whether it's in the family, in a church or synagogue, mosque isn't as traditional for the United States, but still, the faith communities, the family communities, a lot of those structures are just not existent anymore. And
mm-hmm.
at least if somebody were to come from 100 years ago and come into our society today, it would look so vastly different that their head would be spinning. And so I think that part of the challenge for those of us that are either in the nonprofit world or that volunteer in the nonprofit world, one of the challenges is to teach philanthropy. How do we pass these traditions on? I know some of the ways that some of the mega wealthy are doing it is just by saying, I'm not passing this on to my kids. They got to earn the wealth that I had to earn.
Gotcha.
But it's also, I think, one of the things we're finding is a lot of the wealth that's out there is more entrepreneurial wealth,
mm-hmm.
probably akin to the way it was 100, 150 years ago. And those people are, they want to know where their money's going to go. I think a lot more people are a lot more concerned about, you know, am I making a good investment? Am I being a good steward of my money?
You bet. You bet. Well, we're going to talk more about that. Don't go away, folks, because after the break, we'll continue to talk with author and certified fundraiser Mark Pittman about the role of research and relationships and his real methodology in preparing for your fundraising efforts. Right now, though, you're listening to Marketing News Radio. It's brought to you by the American Marketing Association on WSRadio.com. They just happen to be the worldwide leader in Internet talk.
Brain Shark helps leading companies achieve their sales and marketing objectives. Imagine your product experts improving field communications. Imagine sales reps engaging in better conversations with better qualified prospects. With Brain Shark, your subject matter experts can quickly reach your sales force with timely product updates. Your salespeople can send and track their sales communications for more productive follow-up activities. They'll know which prospects viewed their presentation, when, and for how long. BrainShark, the leader in on-demand business communications, allows you to easily create, deliver, and track high-impact, voice-enriched presentations. Learn how BrainShark can help you shorten the sales cycle, accelerate field readiness, and increase response rates. For more information, visit us at www.brainshark.com. That's www.brainshark.com.
Ever feel like your marketing well is running dry? Visit www.marketingpower.com/webcasts and take a cool dip into our free Marketing Thought Leader webcast series. Come out with a bucket full of ideas and inspiration. Actively participate in our live webcasts and join on the interactive Q&A portion of the program. We cordially invite you to join us every Tuesday and Thursday at 12 p.m. Central Standard Time for a Marketing Mind Expanding session. Can't join us on Tuesdays and Thursdays? Then watch previously aired webcasts on an on-demand basis at www.marketingpower.com/webcasts. Either way, you'll join today's marketing trendsetters, trailblazers, and innovators. Our topics cover the full gamut of marketing disciplines and topic areas. Whether you want to learn what's new with Web 2.0, web analytics, branding, direct mail, marketing ROI, and more, we cover the full complement on a B2B and B2C basis. That's www.marketingpower.com/webcasts.
Most mid to large size organizations have either developed some sort of marketing dashboard or are on their way to doing so. Yet so many of these projects are failing to engage key users and are falling short of being a comprehensive, single source of insight as they were meant to be. We want you to attend the American Marketing Association's intensive two-day event, Building Marketing Dashboards for Better ROI, to uncover the next generation in marketing measurement and payback analysis. Reserve your seat for any one of the three upcoming events in Chicago, Las Vegas, or Philadelphia. For a complete listing of event dates and locations, visit marketingpower.com/TSROI-DASH or call 800-AMA-1150. That's 800-AMA-1150. Do it today.
Did you know your marketing advantage is just one click away? The American Marketing Association is the source marketers turn to online. MarketingPower.com is the most popular site for marketing professionals in the world. Marketers come here first for an instant connection to the latest news in the industry, including best practices and webcasts in a wide range of topics. MarketingPower.com also has must-see areas like articles and reports, best practices, career center, marketing tools, and an option to customize your homepage with the most relevant information to you. From articles, white papers, and surveys to exclusive content for AMA members, MarketingPower.com offers the most crucial marketing information online, all in a matter of seconds. The best marketers use every advantage. AMA's MarketingPower.com is your online source for professional development, information, and networking. Visit the website today.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome back to Marketing News Radio, presented by the American Marketing Association.
Hi there, and welcome back to Marketing News Radio. I'm your host, David Kennard. You know, one thing I love about being an AMA member is all the incredible information and resources that are available to us. I want to make sure you have a chance to stop by the new AMA website. It's been updated and online now in the new version at marketingpower.com. You can log in, create an account, customize your homepage, and find a tremendous amount of resources available there. Put it all in your favorites, including this radio show on our blog, and capture some great learning there. Also, a quick shout out to the dashboard event that's coming up later this year. Ben Dewitt, wonderful event for all marketers if they want to understand the ROI behind their marketing. Again, all that information is available on marketingpower.com and the new AMA website. Now, back to the show today. I've got a real treat for our nonprofit friends today. With me today is author Mark Pittman. He is a multi-million dollar fundraiser, a sought-after fundraising coach, and an expert on how to build up your own development program. But for all of our for-profit friends listening, don't go away and stay tuned in, because everything we talk about today is completely applicable to partnership development, co-branding efforts, and strategic alliances. But we'll continue to let Mark explain that. Mark, I want to get back to your book here, Ask Without Fear. Again, it's a great book available online, and I encourage anybody to read it, whether they're for-profit or non-profit. But in it, you talk about a four-step method, process, system. I don't know what you want to label it as, but it's the REAL method, R-E-A-L, and that stands for something. Can you walk us through that real quick?
I'd be glad to. I think this one of the reasons I think that donors may be declining is that, we talked about in the first segment, mm-hmm. is because they're not being asked well. They're not being asked in a structured way. And so as I was trying to figure out what would I want my board members to know, real, just as a Gen Xer, that came up, like, get real.
Yeah.
don't give me all the smoke and mirrors. Don't give me the spiel that you think I need to hear. Just let's get real. What's the brass tacks? What's the bottom line? So REAL stands for research, engage, ask, and then love. We need to first research our prospects and mm-hmm. our project, which is fascinating to me as I've been working with nonprofits, large, small, across the country, around the world, through my blog. People don't really know. They know they need money, but they haven't even done the actual research to figure out how much money they need to have. It would be like for the for-profit people having sales, knowing they need to make sales, but not having any goals. Any quantifiable goals to shoot for, how much they need to, what kind of volume they need to have, or what kind of dollars they need to bring in.
Excellent. Well, I want to go through each one of these a little bit more today, but before we get too much further in it, you know, you have some tremendous credentials that you're bringing to the table here, and I don't have enough time to go through all of them, but, you know, I'd like to talk about your services perhaps as a fundraising coach. What does that mean, and what do you do?
Well, what I love to do is help particularly nonprofit executives raise more money than they thought possible and do that while reducing stress. They're just really simple tools and things that people can do to customize fundraising for their own group, their own organization. It's not cookie cutter. They don't have to use the latest fad or get their, you know, mm-hmm. the whiplash from whatever's coming around the corner next. But also, just as important is helping them figure out how to do it within their own wiring. In the book, you'll notice that I spent a whole lot of time talking about different ways of looking at personalities and hardwiring mm-hmm. and natural talents and abilities, using the Highlands and using some other things. And I love to walk through that with people because I think most of the time that we're experiencing stress just because we're trying to do things that in the way that we've seen other people do them, mm-hmm. not necessarily in the way that we're created to do them. So as an executive coach, it's my privilege to just walk alongside with people, usually through the phone, and just help them to kind of define their own playing field and be able to communicate that to the people they report to, whether it's their boss or the board, the donors, and make it so that it's so much more fun.
You bet.
You're able to do things the way that you're created to do them.
And you have a special website that people can reach you at for that, correct?
Definitely, fundraisingcoach.com.
Fundraisingcoach.com. It's pretty simple. Today we're talking with author and fundraising coach Mark Pittman. He's the author of the book Ask Without Fear. Today you can call in and ask Mark your own questions, reaching us toll-free at 877-474-3302. Hey, Mark, I want to get back to your book. And in it, you talk a little bit about getting ready to do fundraising. And one of those things is creating a gift table. Some people may not know what that is. So what is it and why is it important?
Well, if anybody wanted to follow along with us while they're listening in right now, they could just go to giftrangecalculator.com, and at the time of this recording, that will redirect you to a site that has a gift range table. It's just a quick, simple way of at least figuring out how much we need to ask for. One of the biggest things, if you type in $100,000 in that, you'll see that it's not 100 people giving $1,000 will bring us to $100,000. It's almost like the field of dreams I talk about. The corollary to the field of dreams is if we mail it, they will come. They will give.
Yeah, yeah.
And that just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen equitably. We've been studying this thing for decades, and it's not the way it happens. So
I bet that's a common mistake most people make, that they just kind of evenly divide it out, right?
Oh, and it sounds so good. It mathematically works out. You know 100 people. You know if they just give $1,000. And it could be a way to present it to people. But in reality, you know that you're going to need at least one person. The gift range calculators that are out there usually say at least the first gift has to be $10,000 or 10% of your goal.
Okay.
I would say 25%. In the world that we're in today, you want to make sure that you have more money. We could talk about later some of the statistical research on that. But the gift range calculator also shows you how many prospects you need. Just like sales, you need to have... It's just because you know one person that could give you $10,000 doesn't mean they are. You're usually going to have to find four or five people that are in the range of being able to give that kind of gift to actually close on one of those gifts.
Excellent.
So this breaks it down. It helps your board. Your board is trying to do the right thing. They don't know how to, you know, plan it out. And you can just bring it to them and say, well, if we're going to raise $1 million, we need to, these are the ranges that we need to be looking at. Do we know anybody that could give $250,000 gift? Because we need to know five of them. And it really helps bring a reality check to the wonderful visioning that can go on and all the warm fuzzies that can go on and the time of expansion and excitement around a mission.
Oh, yeah.
You know, help bring people back down to reality and say, okay, this is the roadmap for how we can get there.
Well, it's easy to raise $1 million in a boardroom with amongst your friends, but when you have to go out and actually ask for it, that's another reality. So that was at giftrangecalculator.com. That's right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, another tool you suggest in your book is called the CPI Index, and CPI stands for something. What is that?
Well, that's my own way of it's not the CPI Index that you probably hear on NPR News, but it's for capacity, philanthropy, and interest. What I encourage people to do is to take a whole list of people they think can give, probably major gifts to their organization, and then have three columns, a C column for capacity. Do they have the money to give? P for philanthropy, are they generous? Do they like giving? And then I for interest, are they interested in your organization in particular or your cause in general? It helps move to help you figure out who to focus on next, and it helps your board to do it. Some board members are going to feel very comfortable about saying, you got to talk to Joe, I gave 10 grand to his thing last year, he owes me. But most people don't feel so comfortable about talking about other people's giving patterns.
Sure.
So this is a way to make it a little bit more objective. You ask your board to rate it on a scale of 1 to 5 in each of the three categories. And once you've done that, the first thing you want to do is reach your 12. If anybody rates a 12 or greater, you should be, if you work for the nonprofit or you're in the development committee, you need to not be in your desk. You should be on the phone making an appointment with that person because they have the means to give. They are generous already. And they're interested in your cause.
Now, we only have a few moments left before we have to get to another break, and we can cover this later if we need to as well. But those are two different types of research, you know, the gift table and the CPI index. What are some other things that you might need to research about your prospective donors?
Well, last night before this class, radio show, I just recorded a 90-minute class on researching alone. But before we go to the break, then I think the biggest one that I found so far is free. It's called Google. You can find so much information on people through Google. It's all public domain. It's all public, publicly out there. But they've just aggregated in a way that makes it really easy to find.
All right. Well, we're going to stop at Google and come back to more. Don't go away, folks, because after the break, we'll continue to talk more with author and certified fundraiser Mark Pittman about how to create an engaging story that should increase your fundraising success. Right now, though, you're listening to Marketing News Radio, brought to you by the AMA on WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talk.
What drives the best marketers to network? It's making the best connections. That's because they're members of the American Marketing Association. It's the driving force that merges nearly 40,000 professionals and connects marketers at every level, in every industry, and at every opportunity. Members network at national and international events, conferences, and local chapters. AMA members even connect from their desktop with online special interest groups, web seminars every week, and a world of resources on marketingpower.com. But there's only one way to get every advantage. Join the AMA by visiting www.marketingpower.com. www.marketingpower.com. The best marketers use every advantage. AMA is your source for professional development, information, and networking.
Talk to me.
For over six decades, the American Marketing Association has been the leading source for information, knowledge sharing, and development in the marketing profession. The AMA offers you the best opportunities to reach your target audience through print advertising. AMA's flagship publication, Marketing News, reaches over 23,000 industry professionals every month. This audience comes from a diverse set of organizations, ranging from small businesses to large corporations. Whatever the size, every marketer wants to reach their target and achieve success. Be competitive. Gain ultimate exposure. Contact sales@ama.org or call 312-542-9095 today to discuss your advertising needs. And reserve your spot with one of the industry's leading organizations for marketing professionals, the American Marketing Association.
Top marketers continually enhance their skills as well as highlight their accomplishments. The American Marketing Association's Professional Certified Marketer, or PCM program, gives you a tangible, convenient way to do both. Earn the PCM designation by passing a comprehensive exam covering the key areas of marketing. The PCM program meets strict national professional certification criteria and standards for excellence in marketing. To become certified, visit marketingpower.com for details.
If you ask each of your salespeople to describe the problem that your company solves for its clients, or the value you provide, or how you differ from your competitors, would their answers be clear, consistent, and compelling? If not, you're not alone. Now more than ever, marketing has to be focused on enabling the sales organization to clearly articulate the value and differentiation of your solutions. Learn more from the Savo Group about this new marketing imperative, the importance of sales enablement strategies, and their role in increasing profits in modern organizations. At SavoGroup.com, find out how the Savo Group has helped companies like ADP, FedEx, Kinko's, Citibank, AmerisourceBergen, and others enable their sales and marketing organizations through a combination of proven best practices and award-winning on-demand technology. Go to SavoGroup.com or call 312-506-1700 to learn more.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome back to Marketing News Radio, presented by the American Marketing Association.
Hi there, and welcome back to Marketing News Radio. I'm your host, David Kennard. You know, if you're involved in any type of partnership development, strategic alliances in the for-profit world or in the nonprofit world, asking other corporations or people for money, the fundraising and development work, today's show is a real treat for you. With me is Mark Pittman. He's a multi-million-dollar fundraiser, a sought-after fundraising coach, and an expert on how to build up your own development program. And it's a great follow-up to recently the AMA just held its nonprofit marketing conference in Washington, D.C. this last month. And this is a great opportunity to continue the learning. Mark, one of the things we were talking about just before the break is your REAL program, and the first one was research and understanding the prospect. But really this goes beyond just the facts and figures of that person, but understanding and listening to their story. And you spend quite a bit of time in your book, Ask Without Fear, emphasizing the importance of listening first and then making the connections. Is that right?
Definitely. I think I've even put in the book that if anybody were to shadow me, hoping to be trained on how to do the fundraising, they'd probably be really frustrated by how little the talking happens from my side when I'm with a donor. I'm often getting toured through a factory, getting shown things, finding out how they got involved in the business that they're in, because you could get stuck. I think Zig Ziglar called it paralysis analysis. Mm-hmm. You could just get paralyzed by all the stuff you're analyzing. But getting out and connecting with a donor starts helping you see what are their values. Mm-hmm. Is it a good fit? I'm a big fan of saying that in our nonprofits, and so this would work, I'm sure, for any organization, it's like a wall with a whole bunch of different type of electrical sockets on it. Some have the three prongs, some have the fat end and the thin end, some have the funky dryer ones, some are European, some are American, and our donor is an electrical cord that we need to figure out, walk up and down the wall and figure out which socket do they plug into. Mm. And when we do, it's electric. That's why I love fundraising, because you get to connect somebody's values into something that they don't get to commit their lives to. So many people are making a living without making a life. And what we get to do as a nonprofit fundraiser is help them plug into the stuff that really matters to them.
Yeah.
And so that's what engagement's about, finding out what really matters. How does this nonprofit, what aspect of this nonprofit would be a good fit for them? And it makes the third step, asking, so much easier, because you're not just cold calling. You're not annoying a person. You have a good reason to believe. And they get to know you. They get to figure out how you work. There's a trust level that's built up. It's an exciting part of it. As an extrovert, anyway, it's a really exciting part of the whole fundraising process.
You bet. And you mentioned in your book this notion of cultivating a prospect and cultivation, this stage, and working with donors. And one of my favorite things is your PITS, your P-Y-I-T-S, put yourself in their shoes kind of perspective. And how you reflect on how form letters that ask for a donation don't work. Because why?
Well, I think we've all probably received that from the chambers. Nobody buys a chamber list and just photocopies a whole bunch of pages and then wonders why they don't even get a 1% response rate on that direct mail appeal. The reason is the person before they sent it probably didn't take a step back and just think, what if I were to receive this in my mailbox or in my P.O. box or at my place of business? How would I respond to it? That's putting yourself in their shoes, or P.S. And I think that has saved so many of the people I've worked with so much embarrassment over the years, because it just, if you think about how busy people are, if, you know, look at the envelope, look at the whole thing, not just the letter, but the entire direct mail package. How does the envelope look? What is the response device? How does that make me forget everything I know about this nonprofit? How would I feel if this were the first time I was being introduced to this?
Yeah. You mentioned some really great examples and some funny stories in yours, but one stood out to me, and that was a nonprofit that started writing you on a regular basis. If I got the story right, you got the same letter every year saying, you know, we're really struggling with our finances. We need your money now, and your donation's going to help us. And you were like, why should I give you if you don't know how to manage your money?
It was so frustrating. The organization was just one that really, you know, pulled it and did the right thing as far as pulling my heartstrings. With video and everything they had, it was great. So I made one of the largest contributions I had at that point. I gave $500, and apparently I skyrocketed to the top of their major donor pool, which should have been a red flag for me right away anyway. But every year at the same time, right around December, right around year end, they're going through a fiscal crisis. And I could tolerate that once, because those things happen and you got to communicate with your donors. But what their response to me was, well, this is the best time of year for us. This is the best time of fundraising time of year, which it is for most nonprofits in North America anyway. Right at year end, people are feeling generous with the holidays and everything. But they said, so that's our strategy. We do that every year. And, like probably any donor, I just decided I didn't want to give to a place that was either disingenuous, because at worst they were disingenuous and they were lying.
Yeah.
And at best they were incredibly ineffective money managers. So I figured there are other places that I could invest my money.
Gotcha. Now, when we talk about this engaging aspect of the real process or the real method, part of that I'm sure has to be with your own story. And how unique does your story or cause have to be in order to be successful in engaging the donor?
Probably only unique as unique as it needs to be to connect with the values of the people you're trying to connect with.
Okay.
And I think that may be one of the problems. What's that?
What does that mean? To talk about that more.
Well, one of the problems I think that most any organization that's trying to get its story out there has is trying to shoot for everyone. There's not a specificity on, there's a real hesitancy to target, because if I create my niche or target a niche, then I'm going to be leaving all this other people out there. I'm probably leaving money on the table. But I think that as you define who are you trying to get as your prime donor, I talk about this in the Rule of Threes, which is a free article on the site. I think it's also in the book. Who is your perfect donor? Mm-hmm. Who are you trying to connect with as you're telling your story? And then you find out what values that person has. Katja Andreessen also in Robinhood Marketing goes through this extensively. As you identify those values, as you flesh those out, then you can see all the different aspects that you're already doing in your nonprofit and say, oh, wait a minute, there's a natural intersection. So in your donor's mind, all of a sudden you've become unique. You're still doing the mission. You're still doing the same stuff that you've been doing. It's like the movie What About Bob? I'm doing the stuff. I'm baby stepping. I'm still doing the stuff. You haven't changed that, but you've been able to effectively communicate that more, so that it looks unique in a mass of. We get thousands and thousands of ad impressions every day now.
Yeah.
So the fact that you've taken the effort to say, "Hey, I noticed this about you," or you have a general impression that people at this age demographic and in this stage of life have this particular value.
It goes back to marketing 101 and making
really
sure
does.
You're connecting relevancy of your product or your service to your customer. And the same thing goes with your cause or your opportunity with a prospective donor. You also mentioned the book, and I have to say this word slowly because it's a tongue twister.
Okay.
Tangibilitize your ask. What does it mean to tangibilitize something?
If there's one word in the book that irritated English majors more.
All the editors are freaking out.
Tangibilitize. I wanted to really make it, I really wanted people's heads to turn or to kind of do a double take when they saw that word, because most of us that are involved in nonprofits are so sold on our mission that it's just to us self-evident. And I think this happens actually in for-profits too, that they get so sold on their whatever they're doing that everybody else should figure this out and it should be clear and self-evident. And it's obviously not, because if it were so self-evident what the nonprofit was doing, everybody would be loads of money would be coming to that organization. So it's actually job security that it's not self-evident to everyone else. But, we would love that people would just give because they're freely and philanthropically and they're generous and there's no strings attached. But we don't tend to give that way either. So tangibilitizing is chunking it down. I think McConnell and Huba and Creating Customer Evangelists talk about making bite-sized chunks. Put it down in ways that people can understand what's the impact that this gift is going to have. Is it going to feed a certain number of kids? Is it going to be able to heat so many homes? Is it going to be able to send somebody to school? Make it so that it feels, and heifer.org does this so well, because they make it very clear, you're giving to the mission, you're not giving to these chickens, but a gift of this size can purchase these chickens for the family in Peru that's providing protein and renewable income and all these other things.
Excellent. One other one you get in the last minute here is called the YMCA principle. What is that?
Did
I stump you?
Okay, thank you. I was all of a sudden with the Village People. Sorry.
Oh.
I almost started dancing. So this is really great. If you've made an ask, and this kind of segues into the ask step, if you make an ask of somebody and they immediately say yes, you know you've asked too low. Because
okay.
You want to be making asks where people have to think about it. So what the YMCA is probably an urban legend, but what they're supposed to be good at doing is if this person says yes right away, you kind of follow up as though you hadn't intended to stop and saying, would you give $100? Would you give $100,000 to this cause? Sure, I'll write a check right now. And then you, as the asker, say, a year for the next 3 years?
You gotcha. You continue it on and get those multi payments over time.
Right.
Hey, folks, don't go away. After the break, we're going to continue talking more with author and certified fundraiser Mark Pittman about the biggest mistake you likely make in your partnering and fundraising efforts. And we'll also talk about the ask and the love factor of the real method. Right now, though, you're listening to Marketing News Radio, brought to you by the AMA on WSRadio.com, worldwide leader in Internet talk.
The best marketers use every advantage. The American Marketing Association is the source that marketers turn to every day for professional development, information, and networking. By joining the AMA, you'll get all the benefits included with membership, like subscriptions to AMA's cutting-edge publications, members-only information on the member resource section of our website, nearly immediate feedback to your marketing questions through our shared interest groups, substantial discounts on AMA conferences and events, and local networking and learning through one of our 74 local chapters. AMA membership benefits can help you succeed in your own marketing business. To see a detailed listing of all benefits, visit our website at www.marketingpower.com. The best marketers use every advantage. AMA is your source for professional development, information, and networking. Join today.
High open rates, click-throughs, and other typical metrics are nice, but if you dwell on these small victories to validate your e-marketing, you'll miss the forest for the trees. You'll spend time and energy refining specific metrics that only give you the illusion of progress. Then wonder why your campaigns don't generate the return on investment you expected. At Bulldog Solutions, we help clients make the fundamental shift to more effective, client-centric marketing. We're a lead management and optimization company building lead marketing programs that incorporate best-in-breed technology, proven process, and experienced people. We've helped some of the best business brands in the world get more efficient about the way they connect with prospects, and we can help you do the same. For more information, visit us at www.bulldogsolutions.com/AMA.
Did you know your marketing advantage is just one click away? The American Marketing Association is the source marketers turn to online. MarketingPower.com is the most popular site for marketing professionals in the world. Marketers come here first for an instant connection to the latest news in the industry, including best practices and webcasts in a wide range of topics. MarketingPower.com also has must-see areas like articles and reports, best practices, career center, marketing tools, and an option to customize your homepage with the most relevant information to you. From articles, white papers, and surveys to exclusive content for AMA members, MarketingPower.com offers the most crucial marketing information online, all in a matter of seconds. The best marketers use every advantage. AMA's MarketingPower.com is your online source for professional development, information, and networking. Visit the website today.
You've spent months designing your new product launch, defining your message, positioning your product, running it past customers to test, refine, and perfect each word and phrase. So now it's time to bring it to sales. And they'll analyze it, and they'll be trained on it, but they'll continue selling the old and familiar. It'll be 6 months before they're confident enough to present your new product to customers, and maybe even longer before they really get it right. Or you can get sales started immediately with Buddy in a Box from Avatage. With Buddy in a Box, your salespeople will bring your messages to market sooner, conduct more compelling conversations with customers, and learn new messages and how to deliver them with conviction. Bring your selling messages to life with Buddy in a Box, just one of the many applications of the Avatage Marketing and Sales Communication Platform. To learn more about Buddy in a Box, visit Avatage at www.avitage.com.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome back to Marketing News Radio, presented by the American Marketing Association.
Hi there, and welcome back to Marketing News Radio. I'm your host, David Kennard. It's been a real treat today for our nonprofit listeners, listening to our guest, Mark Pittman. He's a multi-million dollar fundraiser, a sought-after fundraising coach, and an expert on how to build up your development program. For all of our for-profit companies out there and marketers, it's a great lesson in strategic development of alliances and partnerships and co-branding, and everything works in both worlds, for-profit or nonprofit. Mark, welcome back. And throughout your book, you're hitting on a theme that people give to winning causes, not to needs. It would seem logically, though, that it's just the other way around to me. I see, you know, the person on the street corner who looks down and out and does not look like a winning cause, and yet this person is getting lots of money handed to him through car windows. Or, you know, when we see pictures of people in brochures, we always see the destitute and the poor. We never see them, you know, with gleaming white teeth, wavy hair, and a six-pack of abs. So help me understand where those two connect.
Well, think about it. Just using the person that's on the curb with a hat open collecting coins, who would you rather hang out with? Someone who is in a suit walking fast, moving with a purpose, or a person that's hurting that much in life? And whether for right or wrong, it's not a values judgment, people tend to want to go with the person that looks like they have it together.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that translates directly to nonprofits. We see our need, we talk about need, but then it gets back to what we were talking about in a previous segment about that organization that every year said, we might not meet goal. Well, there's every year, all of us may not meet budget.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move beyond that. But what people love to give to things that are winning causes. And this is New York Times Magazine in March 9th, 2008, just recently did this great, very interesting article on some economists that are starting to study why we give.
Yeah.
One of the things that they studied was this direct mail campaign in Florida. They did a direct mail solicitation for computer equipment. One of the letters they put in that they had raised a fraction of the total goal, maybe 20%. The other one, it sounded like they had raised half or more than that of the goal. And they're almost there. Your gift was just going to help them top it off. And by and large, we've almost raised all that we need to raise letter pulled far better than the we're just getting our foot off the ground. You know, we're just starting this campaign.
Yeah.
And this is where you have to know your donors, because there are some that are going to want to provide that seed money. They want to know that they're the ones that kicked it off and got it going. But I've actually seen a foundation that gave a $50,000 pledge for a campaign, as long as it was the last $50,000 of this multi-million-dollar campaign. They gave it early in the case, in the process, but they wanted to be the ones that finished it off. They wanted to have that status, which is fascinating, because a little bit frustrating from a strategic point of view, because it was, how do we count this? It's in there now, but it's not, because they're going to be in the end. It was just really funny to try to make it so that it was fitting what the donor wanted to get out of giving to.
Well, and I think a winning cause also goes to showing the return on that investment. Here's what we've done, here's what we've been doing, and here's what we're going to do. And showing that is definitely part of the winning cause. Would you agree?
Oh, I definitely agree. People, if you have a proven excellence at doing something, from a donor's perspective, me as a donor, I'd much prefer to give to something that I know is going to get the job done. It's going to do it at an adequate, you know, overhead. One of the things that's really intriguing right now is that so many people are down on overhead expenses for nonprofits. I want it to go directly to programs. And if you think about even our household life, we need something over our heads. there's going to be some sort of overhead. So overhead isn't a bad thing to be giving to, but there are certain percentages that are healthier to keep it within.
Gotcha. Now, I know we've talked about research and engagement, and oftentimes in the for-profit world, when I've done trainings and talks, I've said, you know, what's the number one failure of salespeople today in developing their book of business? And people go, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, it's always the failure to ask for the sale. And you have that in step three of the real method, ask. Let's get to the brass tacks, asking for money or asking for anything in general, like an appointment to ask for money. What are the tips?
This is where it's, if you've gone through the research and the engage, this is so much a natural part of the conversation, whether it's just over the first cup of coffee, you've done your research, your engage and ask is over your initial visit, you can do that, or you can extend this out over a period of time, but you already know it interests the person, you already know what aspects of your organization really kind of hit their hot buttons. You know, you have an idea of how much you'd like to ask them for, and so this is where you just get to invite them. But we're doing this. You've seen the quality of the work that we're doing here. We're really excited about this. We think it's going to be great for our organization, for our community. Would you be willing to give $50,000 over the next couple of years to help make that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the key. Shut up.
But what if they don't say anything?
They won't. That's the game. I learned that in sales training, but it fits in fundraising too. I've talked more people out of yes.
Yeah.
Because I get so you feel the stress. I was doing the 90-minute class on asking that I'll be offering soon. There's a pause in there while I say, "Be quiet." Mm-hmm. And even within me, as I knew what I was doing, I was feeling this pressure. Our culture abhors a vacuum of sound. We always need to, we need to have background music going, we need to have something going. And
and in your book it says, he who speaks first loses.
Yeah.
So the whole point of being quiet there is letting then your prospective donor convince themselves that they should be giving to you.
Or at least giving them the respect of having a chance. You should be asking an amount that causes them to really think.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be a no-brainer amount. In my book, if you're doing major gifts, if you've taken the time to go face-to-face with somebody, you should be asking for a significant involvement. And that is different for every organization, depending on the size or whatever. But, you need to give them the space to think about what they need to do. They need to think about their bank account. They need to think about gift-giving options. They need to think about who they need to convince. There's a lot going on in that person's mind after you make an ask for a sizable amount of money. So just give them the respect of letting them process.
including swallowing their tongue. Hey, let's go to the last step in the last few moments here of the real approach, which is love. This seems kind of obvious, but it's an important step that
we don't want to miss out on.
So what does that mean to add make sure we have love in the process?
Well, your listeners here will appreciate this. I remember being in sales training once for another aspect of my life, where we were taught that it was just like putting people in the hopper. You got to have five prospects for every single sale you're going to do, and if you it's one person says no, you just put a little flush on your hard hat, put a hard hat on, get in the car, flush them down, and say, all right, move on to the next one. And I see nonprofits doing that with the people that are the core. They're so close to the organization that they've been asked to contribute significantly in money. And then when the person says no, they're just written off.
They're dropped.
And it's awful because our business, at least in the nonprofit world, is relationships. I think the for-profit world is realizing that too. It's a lot cheaper to keep a customer than it is to get a new customer.
Yeah.
And we just need to have the respect for people of realizing there are ways to handle objections. There's an idea with that in the book, and there's just really good training on how to handle objections. But when you go through all that, yeah, sometimes it may not be the right moment for them. There may be extenuating circumstances.
Gotcha.
And being able to handle a no well really sets you apart as an organization.
Well, I've always thought that a no just simply meant not yet. Keep going.
Exactly.
So let's keep talking and don't burn that bridge. Hey, we've had lots of information today, and I want to hit some of the resources that you've highlighted. One was the giftrangecalculator.com. The other was one of your websites, fundraisingcoach.com. What else would you suggest people look at? Highland Development Officers Association, anything like that?
Well, in the fundraisingcoach.com, if you go to fundraisingcoach.com/articles, there's free articles on how to recession-proof your fundraising or your nonprofit, which I think would be really helpful for people that are either on boards or running nonprofits. And there's a free article on the stuff we covered in our call today.
Okay.
But the Highlands is a great, if anybody hasn't heard of the Highlands, instead of how do you feel about this, how do you interact with that sort of test, which are very helpful. This is one that actually measures how you do on tasks under pressure. So it helps figure out your hardwiring. And that's highlandsco.com.
Highland what?
I believe it's highlandsco.com. There's also a link to that off of my site.
Okay.
And then there are just great associations, Association for Fundraising Professionals.
We're gonna actually have to push them to your website because the music says we got to close.
Okay.
Mark Pittman, he's the author of The Essential Read, Ask Without Fear. Be sure to buy his book and look at his websites for more information. Thanks for listening on WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talk.
Ever feel like your marketing well is running dry? Visit www.marketingpower.com/webcasts and take a cool dip into our free Marketing Thought Leader webcast series. Come out with a bucket full of ideas and inspiration. Actively participate in our live webcasts and join on the interactive Q&A portion of the program. We cordially invite you to join us every Tuesday and Thursday at 12 p.m. Central Standard Time for a Marketing Mind Expanding Session. Can't join us on Tuesdays and Thursdays? Then watch previously aired webcasts on an on-demand basis at www.marketingpower.com/webcasts. Either way, you'll join today's marketing trendsetters, trailblazers, and innovators. Our topics cover the full gamut of marketing disciplines and topic areas. Whether you want to learn what's new with Web 2.0, Web Analytics, Branding, Direct Mail, Marketing ROI, and more, we cover the full complement on a B2B and B2C basis. That's www.marketingpower.com/webcasts.
Are you swimming in a chaotic sea of PowerPoint presentations, not knowing whether you have the latest version or the approved template? Does your company need to get their presentations under control? Interwoven has extended the reach of corporate brand management with a new solution for managing, combining, and distributing Microsoft PowerPoint files. The Interwoven Presentation Workbench allows users to easily assemble the perfect presentation using approved slides from any number of existing presentations all in one web window, accessible from anywhere. Sales teams love that it allows them to easily obtain just the right combination of slides for every meeting. Marketing and brand managers love that everyone uses the most up-to-date material, templates, and brand guidelines. Get your PowerPoint files under control today with Interwoven's presentation management solution. Go to www.interwoven.com or call 888-468-3796 to find out more.